As usual, folks, on Rai Argentina to the World, we follow on cultural events, cultural happenings in Argentina. And the Children Liturgies Festival, Filvita, is taking place this week in two seats in South America, in Buenos Aires, particularly in La Matanza, and also in the Uruguayan capital, Montevideo. And the British Council is sponsoring the visit of an important children literature author, David Almond, who's here to take part in Filvita, and he's down the line to talk to Rai Argentina to the World. Miriam Turcula and Fernando Farias, be the welcome to Argentina. I don't know if it's your first time in our country, David.
Yeah, this is my first time in Argentina, first time in Buenos Aires.
Well, what is your schedule for Filvita? Are you going to be presenting a new book or giving a conference, an interview?
I've been doing several things. Yesterday I was at a translation workshop with the British Council, with people who were doing translations of one of my books. I've been at a couple of schools already. Today I am doing a session with Inez Garland. So I'm doing a whole series of events here and in Montevideo.
Cool. Speaking of translations, what do you think of them? Have you been able to read some of that? I don't know if you understand a little Spanish.
No, I don't understand enough Spanish to know if the translations are fine. But as an author, what you have to do is to trust your translators and to give them the freedom to translate well.
David, hi, this is Miriam speaking. David, how do you come to specialize in children literature?
It just happened to me, really. I never expected to write for children, for young people, but I was suddenly found myself writing a book which turned out to be called Skellig, and as soon as I began to write it, I realized it was a book for children, for young people, and I'd never expected to do that. But as soon as I did, I felt liberated, I felt free, and I felt that I was writing better than I ever had before.
Good. I read that it was said that you write about children in crisis, giving hope to them, and those same critics said that it was a bibliographic aspect. Is that true?
I suppose, in a sense, any story, any book needs some trouble at the heart of it if the book's going to work well. So a lot of the children in my stories have some problems in their lives, some difficulties. But I hope my books are kind of hopeful things, optimistic things, without being very pink and kind of hunky-dory, that they offer opportunities for hope for the children who read them.
And you said that when you were writing Skellig, you had kind of this epiphany in which you realized that you were writing for children. Can you develop on that? How did you realize that it was a work for children? Because before that, you wrote with an adult public in mind, I suppose.
Yeah, in many ways there was very little difference. You know, the writing was just as good. The writing was as good as I could make it. I think it was something to do with the clarity of the language that I was using and the way that I began to describe things that to adults might seem strange and difficult, but that to children seemed quite admissible within the pages of a book.
Mm-hmm. And what is the age range of the public you have in mind now?
Have an age range in mind. I just write, you know, as a writer, all I can do is write the best book that I can in the best way that I can. And and then beyond that, you don't really know. Then my publishers say it's for a particular age range. But what happens with my books is they come out and they are read by lots of adults as well. But my prime audience, my main audience, is young people, children.
Mm-hmm. In your late, I don't know whether it is your latest book, the one about the piranhas, I mean, the boy who swam with piranhas, talking about that book, that metaphor, I mean, swam with piranhas, what is it that piranhas stand for? Is that society?
I suppose the piranhas stand for a kind of danger. The boy who swims with piranhas, it's he's kind of testing himself out. He's having quite a difficult time in his life, and then he meets someone who says, Sam, you look brave enough to swim in a tank full of piranhas.
Yeah.
And which he does that. And it comes from actually a real incident. I was in a circus in Italy,
yeah.
And I actually saw a man put some swimming trunks in and dive into a tank full of piranhas. And it was very funny and very scary. And I thought, wow, I've got to write about that.
Did he come out alive?
He came out alive. He came out fine, yes. Yes, he was untouched.
Oh, God.
It was very funny. And I suppose, yeah, the story, you know, the tank full of piranhas, I kind of suppose that maybe it's a metaphor for life itself. Mm-hmm. We have to take a deep breath and dive in and do the best that we can and try and make something beautiful.
David, the idea now, the thing that many people say now, at least in Argentina, is that children are not reading as much as they did in the past with all these technology and devices they have in front of it, like screens and tablets and that kind of stuff. In your experience and presenting your books or talking to your readers, what do you have to say about, I mean, new trends?
I'm a great optimist. I mean, people in England say that as well, but actually the evidence is that that the sales of children's books are actually increasing in the UK, that the most healthy area of publishing is children's books. And a few years ago, you know, everybody thought that, you know, children were going to be reading online, they were going to be reading on Kindles, and they are, but actually they still prefer and want to read the real book, the solid object. And, you know, I travel all over the world, and everywhere I go I meet children who love stories, who love books, who love to talk about language, and I think often adults don't recognize that enough. And I think the adults who doubt whether children are interested in stories and literature should come to children's events and watch them and listen to them and be surprised.
Yeah, there is always the ability to use imagination by children that is somehow bigger than that of adults, and we tend to overlook that many times.
Yeah, I mean, I think that children's imaginations, children's creativity is really at the heart of our culture, and I think we need to recognize that the children form a really important part of our society, and to give them credit and say, and you know, a place I do know about the UK, we're going through lots of kind of big political changes, and in some ways we've kind of blocked out children from taking part in those. And I think, for instance, that in the UK that children of 16 should have the right to vote for politicians so that they can take an active part in directing the way our society is going.
David, I read that you were a teacher of creative writing, right?
Yes.
Okay. How do you teach someone to be creative? I thought that was a natural gift.
It is a natural gift, but there are lots of things that you can do as a teacher of creative writing. I work in Bathsheba University, and we take all kinds of students. And we take students who want to write books for young people. What you can do is to help people to understand what seems to work on the page. You can show them where they may be having difficulties. And what you can do is to inspire them, to allow them to see that actually they can do it, that it's possible for them to do it. And that's how I approach children as well. One of the things about my books, I hope, is the children will read my books and they won't just admire them, but they will feel, well, maybe I could do the same as well. So it's a kind of, hopefully, an inspirational process.
Before you said that many adults read your books also, so basically we're talking of a crossover, and the idea that the age range that I mentioned before is not as important as the publishing market is says it is. And what are the topics that you touch on your books that you feel adults connect with also, but from a children's point of view? No, I mean, reading a children's book, but being touched as an adult.
I think what I try to do, I think what all writers do try to do, is to write something which is engaging, which is beautiful, which touches on important issues about love and death and hope and despair. And I think that's what my books do. So in that sense, they deal with universal themes. And I think as well, in writing for children, you're writing for an audience who actually is really deeply involved with the major questions of life. You know, where did I come from? What's happening? Why am I here? How can I learn to speak properly? So children are in a kind of a process of growing up, of developing, of beginning to understand the world. And I think that's one of the things that adults can relate to in reading powerful children's books. They engage again with the, you know, the great questions of life, and also become entranced by great stories. Because what all writers try to do is to produce stories which will entrance and engage the reader, no matter what age they might be.
How do you deal with fantasy and science fiction, fantastic stuff on stories? Is that something you use on all of your books, or you try to suggest that?
I don't write fantasy. I write, you know, my books are all, the basis of my books is realism. They all take place in a real world with believable characters. And they have elements of magic, elements of the fantastical. But I think it's important for me that the fantastical elements grow out of a very believable world. Mm-hmm. So I don't try to construct an alternative world. I try to kind of recreate this real world and show that within this real world there are very magical and miraculous things taking place, because I do believe that this world itself is quite astonishing. It's an extraordinary world. And one of the purposes of my work is to kind of inspire people to look again at what seems to be ordinary and see that it might actually be extraordinary and miraculous.
Quite deep.
Mm-hmm.
David, do you have any projects for the future?
Sorry?
Do you have any projects for the future? For the future?
Oh, yes. I've just finished a new novel which comes out next year called The Color of the Sun. I've just been on tour with a musician, kind of speaking my words and being accompanied by musicians. So we did a national tour in the UK. I'm writing the story for a graphic novel at the moment, which will be for the centenary of the end of the First World War, and also probably another stage play. So I'm quite busy.
Yeah, quite a tight agenda, yes.
Speaking of Argentina, you said that this is your first time here. And are you familiar with some Argentine literature, some Argentine authors? Have you read anything?
I know when I was in my 20s and 30s that Borges was just really important to me. I discovered Borges, and he helped me to change everything that I wrote in many ways. His kind of the strangeness and complexity of his stories was a huge influence on me, and still is.
Yeah, always. I mean, when we ask writers from overseas this question, they always mention Jorge Luis Borges as a major influence for different reasons. The reason that you just gave me is the first time I heard it by a writer. But yes, he's always there up on the list.
Yeah.
Well, David, thank you very much for this contact with Rai Argentina to the World. The best of lucks with Filvita Children Literature Festival, and hope to see you again in our country in the future.
Thank you very much. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Pleasure was ours.
That was David Allman, British author. He's in Buenos Aires to join this edition of the Filvita Children Literature Festival that takes place this week in Buenos Aires and Montevideo in Uruguay. This is a contact that was made possible by the British Council, and we appreciate it very much.